Grace and peace unto thee from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the example of Jesus, we will unite into prayers of intercession. The services continue with reading intercessional prayers by the speaker. These prayers have been a part of a large Christian summer gatherings and are included in the program on multiple occasions. Topics of intercessory prayers are mainly various difficult life situations that people live under. Sometimes the intercessory prayers also include thankfulness. From the Bible, it is evident that Christians have always prayed for one another and regarding common topics. Paul urged us to pray for rulers, among other things, so that God's blessings would come through them for the good of the entire nation. Intercessory prayers are in their own way a reflection of times. They highlight the things that are causing people sadness and unhappiness right now. Many guests find that intercessory prayers calming and touching. Even the distress of an unknown neighbor stops us in our tracks and reminds us that we cannot know what kinds of burdens people we meet are carrying inside them. Sometimes the subject of a prayer becomes close to the listener, and at the same time communicates that others are living under the same sorrow or distress. Intercessory prayers is one way to care for and look after others. Many people who have been in difficult situations in life have told how they felt that intercessory prayers have carried them. Just knowing that others are praying for me can be comforting in the midst of difficulties. Prayer always includes hope, which stems from the fact that God knows each person in the stages of their life. Almighty God has a power and authority to act for the good of the person who asks for help, especially for his or her immortal soul. Hope is always conveying in the prayers, which comes from knowing that God knows each person in their phases of life. Our Almighty God has a power and strength to provide a path for help, especially for those seeking peace unto their own undying soul. The sermon will begin shortly. As an introduction to this sermon, I will read from the Word of God found in the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, and the first 12 verses. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the streets that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which had made for the purpose. Before him stood Matthiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah, on his right hand and on his left hand, Bediah, and Messiah, and Malkiah, and Hazam, and Hasbandah, Zechariah, and Mesulam. And Ezra opened the book on the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed on their hands and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeza, and Bani, and Lebia, Jamin, Akub, Sebatia, Hodiah, Maseah, Kelita, Arzera, Yezobad, Henan, Beliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read it in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshiath, and Ezra, the priest of the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat and fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled on the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. In Jesus' name, Amen. This story from thousands of years ago opens an incredible happening to us in ancient Jerusalem. We can see in a vast open place, people gathered together in one place. It seems as though there are a lot of people of all ages there. There are men and women. There are elders, adults, and we can also say that there were children there. There were people there that could understand what they were hearing. And we know that even a young child quickly understands what is being spoken about, especially when it comes to the Word of God, where children have a very clear understanding of it. And our text states that this nation had set out on one accord. They felt that it was important to come and gather together in that holy land. Some people lived in that holy land in Jerusalem, and people who lived around that, and they had come together into one accord. In our text still states, and according, they lived the first day of the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. And if we inspect the law of Moses, we notice that the first day of that seventh month was a holy day established by God for the people of Israel through Moses. And I have an understanding that time in question is late fall according to our calendar. But in Israel, is a very common time, which rarely rains, and it was a good time for them to be. Here it is mentioned the scribe Ezra, a priest, and he was asked to bring the book of the law of Moses, which had the commandments for Israel from the Lord. He had been asked to preach or serve in these hard services, and the nation was thirsting for the words of the Lord. Here in the opening services, it was mentioned that summer services have been held for 120 years. And it's a very special celebration for us today. But we notice from our text that these great services have been celebrated well before our time. In a long time before at the Watergate, as explained in our text. I thought when I was asked to serve in this text and to ask, it was asked what was a text, and it came to mind the book of Nehemiah, and it could have been the whole book. But this whole portion is not suitable for this sermon. But here, there are announcements and updates made during the intermissions, and it comes to mind, we have this old publication, which is the foundation for all other publications, the Holy Bible. It was worthwhile for every one of us to read it. And this book of Nehemiah is a very interesting book in its entirety. And I recommend it for all of you children, youth, and those of all ages. A book to read in its entirety. Often in these services, we take focus on a small portion of text, and we may refer to other text portions. But it's opened in a very incredible way when we read it from when we read a larger portion of text. This book of Nehemiah is historically connected to that time when the nation of Israel had returned from that exile in Babylon approximately 450 years before the birth of Jesus. And in the Bible, there are other portions of text which are seamlessly connected to this same portion of time. For example, the book of Ezra and the book of Esther. And also the book of Prophet Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They're all connected to this time. Reading the Bible is very beneficial for all, each and every one of us, and very important, even though my own experience is that it gets buried and neglected on our bookshelves. Of course, there are very important books, or good books in our life, but let's not forget reading the Bible. The Bible is a collection from a long time of portions of text which have been written. And they are not just any texts. But we believe, as Paul taught to his young colleague Timothy that every sacred day inspired by the Spirit of God is useful for teaching, for correction and training, for life in accordance with God's will. During the time of which the Bible was written and after it, the world has changed in many ways. Many nations have arisen and have fallen, and people have always been, had the nature to investigate everything under the happens under the sun, just as the preacher states in the book of Ecclesiastics. I seek out wisdom to investigate everything that happens under the sun. And this, God has given this heavy task to men as a burden. Over time, the concept of humanity has evolved, and how the sphere of life has taken shape as to how the world is. For example, today we understand the world is a sphere and not a flat disk. But even though many things have changed in the world during time, the fundamentals have nevertheless remained completely unchanged. The human nature has not changed in any way. And also God and His Word have and will remain the same. In the Bible, it describes in general terms the history of nature and stages of nations. The style of expression is such that it's very simple, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And a child can understand this. But for someone slightly wiser and more discerning, this already presents a puzzle. Just as Jesus himself praised God, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise, but revealed them unto the hearts of children. And we will find from the Bible many wonderful thoughts in the Bible and poetic passages which resonate to us from songs and psalms and many other portions. This beautiful linguistic expression is not an end in itself, but it helps to support and reveal unto us God's revelation. And what is the core message of the Bible? It is that God is the Almighty Creator. He has created all things visible and invisible. The important thing is how God provides salvation to the fallen human race. And the whole revelation of the Bible consists of all these text portions which have been written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit during the Old Testament and the New Testament, including Moses, the prophets. And the core revelation of the Bible is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, of which Moses, the Psalms, and prophets all prophesied about. And it's good to keep this in mind when we go through this book of Nehemiah. And I thought that I would not reveal the plot of this book, but I recommend you read it yourselves. But here are a few remarkable points which would be good to reflect upon. This portion, which was written 450 years before Jesus' time, describes how people of the Israel began to settle there in their own land after that period of exile, and how that spiritual and temporal life began to take shape. It's good. It would be good to go to the background, what had happened before this book of Nehemiah was written. The nation had left that land which God had promised, and from that living God, and they served or worshipped idols for hundreds of years before falling into that, or taking, before going into exile. And there was a moral decay among the people, which inevitably follows when people turn away from God. In their place came self-made idols in their own ideas and self-righteousness and human influences came surfaced up, and they are can be written in the books of the prophets how what it meant to serve idols. I'm not going to go to any further in this context, but from the book of Isaiah, we can read what had happened. Hear, O heavens, and give, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth the owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of an evildoer's children, and the corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, and they provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they gone away backward. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge, as a besieged city. Such was the pitiful state of the people, and it states in the book of Proverbs, righteousness exileth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is a very serious matter, and certainly very timely, and it's worth to reflect upon even today. And so it happened, as the prophets prophesied, that the neighbor nations conquered Israel and stole its riches and treasures. And the people were forced into exile a couple of thousands away into exile in Babylon. If we even try to imagine such a happening in our own nation, it surely would feel utterly hopeless. But Prophet Jeremiah spoke on many occasions to the people of Israel of falling away from God, or turning away from God. And when that nation was brought into exile, he sent a letter. It's a very timely message even today. Uh, and seek the peace of city. I pray, cause you to carry away the captives, and pray unto the Lord, for in the peace thereof that ye shall peace. For I know that the thoughts that I think of you, saith the Lord, in a very important matter. Do the best for that city which I have moved you to, and pray for it. For its prosperity in your prosperity as well. Pray for its success, for its success is your success as well. I have my own plans for you, saith the Lord, and my thoughts are of peace. And when we look at Nehemiah, and what type of person Nehemiah was, he was a Jewish man. He was not a prophet. He was a lay person. But he acted when the Persian Empire was exiled, and the people, Israelites, had been exiled, and he was a high official in the Persian kingdom. And when the people believers had obeyed the prophet Jeremiah, it happened that these gifted people had been given, entrusted into positions of responsibility, and Nehemiah was held in a very high position and enjoyed the ruler's trust. And he wanted to act and serve under that authority and do things right in the eyes of God. He therefore had a good and trusting relationship with the ruler. And if we look at general history, I'm not a historian myself, but understand it this way, that in Persia in that time, there were many different religions. But there was a very vast freedom of religion, that the Jews were allowed to practice their own religion and have their own God and serve their own God. And this was most likely a strategic move by the ruler to prevent rebellions and keep the people peaceful. But in that time, they made it possible in those social conditions that the rulers, the people of Israel, the Jews, were able to return to their homeland. And ultimately, the question is that God alone guides the sages of nations. And he influences their actions and gives the rulers authority and also takes it away. And we can trust it in this way when we reflect on these times and troubling developments in the world, that the Heavenly Father knows what happens in this world and we don't need to worry about it, then there's a matter which I unfortunately don't have time to address, is how the walls of Jerusalem were built. It's a wonderful depiction of how the families and people of all ages built the walls through voluntary efforts around the city of Jerusalem. And in the old translation of the Bible, which is often used in sermons, that the nation the people were given the heart to do the work, which we can see even today how people have found the heart to do the work. And I'm very grateful for all of you who have contributed to these services. I myself have been able to attend summer services for so long that I can't, as I can remember. And I have been in many involved in many of the organizational work during services, and it has been a truly wonderful feeling, even though leaving always isn't as easy, to even if there have been difficult situations at home, and the work shifts may have been long, but God has given me strength. And we can be thankful for this. At this time, I can't help but to think back at my beloved mother and father, that at home, it was important that we would go to prepare for summer services and we would go to volunteer. My father was a hands-on, very practical man. He often attended to summer services in southern Finland, made sure that there was electricity there. And he would take us younger siblings there, and some would stay to be taken care of by my mother. And my father would give us suitable duties or tasks. They may not have been very significant to help further the case, but they were actually the right thing to do. And we understood from that when we go to volunteer at these summer services, it serves a purpose. Above all, that we would go to those services. My father did not really speak much about matters of faith, but it was an educational aspect, and we were able to understand what's important in this life. And my father would remember these occurrences and these various methods which were used to solve problems, to establish these services. But as this memory began to fade, they were not so important anymore. It was simply that he would be blessed before he left from here. It was very moving how he once showed from the hymnal "Help me in the final hour by the power, when from Babylon I flee, when my praise on shore in heaven shall be given, where the saints rejoice in thee. My father is now there waiting at those services which will begin but never end." Then in the book of Nehemiah comes how the work in God's kingdom does not always please those living around them. And the builders were met with mockery from those around them, and people tried to stop them. It's an unfortunate what the enemy of soul and sin does in this world, in the Holy Land, in that region. We can see what those wars, which are a result of sin, the work of the enemy of soul. But as mentioned in the Bible, of this border, border disputes, the question is that God's adversary, the enemy of the soul, is at work in this world. And we have a battle against the enemy of the soul, as Paul taught. We are not fighting against people, but against rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of the dark world. We are not fighting against people. And for this reason, it felt important to mention this, that when we encounter people which think differently about matters than we do, and we know that, how the Bible teaches us, that we will respond with love and gentleness. The Spirit of God teaches that we would respond with love when the foundation of our faith is questioned, and with patience and moderation. Arguing or attacking does not come from the Spirit of God, rather it comes from the enemy of the soul. And for that reason, it is good for us to read from the book of Ephesians, how Paul encourages us to take that proper armor for the battle. When we find ourselves discussing matters of faith, that we would have that breastplate of righteousness, and that we would proclaim the gospel of peace. Let your gentleness be known by all people, as Paul advises to the Philippians. The enemy of the soul tries to also wedge between believers, just as he did in the time of Nehemiah. And when the people came to collect debts from brothers and sisters, it's very important that matters are resolved as they were during the time of Nehemiah, and God helped in these situations. There, a trumpet was sounded when there were difficult times or the enemy attacked. Today, we don't have trumpets, but other than in cars, we have the horn. We have our phones. I noticed here in the field that we are communicating with each other. They're good, these mobile devices. Services can be broadcasted via them to all corners of the earth. But it's important to remember that they can never replace face-to-face communication, especially when there are important matters to be discussed. When we return to these services at the Watergate, here it is mentioned how Ezra and the scribes read the Bible verse by verse, and the nation cried, but the nation was also comforted. And that word stirred up the sense of sin in them, just as Paul said, all those fallen sorts are without hope. Remorse and the awareness of one's sinfulness is the first step to repentance, but it's not enough for salvation. But that nation was able to hear the gospel. Ezra said that not to be sorrowful, but to bring these, go, and that gospel brought great joy to those people. And they organized a very great celebration with a variety of musical instruments, that joy was heard far beyond Jerusalem. And to end this service, when we are here at Golhovah's summer services, we can be before the Holy Word of God, which is living and sharper than the double-edged sword. Then, dear friend, how does this word speak to you? Do those same thoughts come to your mind as to those service guests at the water gate? Or does the bright light of the world enlightened or reveal all that dust and dirt was attached during this journey? Does it reveal the human weakness and those doubts regarding God's grace? Or do you think that the word of God is harsh and not according to this day, or it doesn't apply to you, or you're not interested? These services haven't been arranged so that people would cry and remain in tribulation, but rather it is a time of grace, and that same gospel is preached here as during those Watergate services. And also at that Watergate, 400 years later, rose a great voice. Jesus proclaimed, "If someone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of water will flow within them." And Jesus himself is that fount of the living water. And that living water is the gospel, the joyous message, the forgiveness of sins. And in his name and in his blood, sins are preached forgiven in these services, as we have heard many times. And this message, for this message, these services have been enraged. For who is thirsty, let him come and receive the water of life as a gift. You can, dear friend, brother and sister, leave all sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven. Dear friends, beloved, all sins are forgiven. And my own situation, my own life, is rest on this gospel. And I have come to this place in fear, that can I relate of this precious matter to you? Can I can I receive my own sins forgiven? Leave all sins forgiven, Jesus in his blood. And in this way, I want to believe together with you and this gospel, to remain in the protection of this gospel. And I would say now, Lord, it is good for us to be here. In Jesus' name, amen.